Hi, this is Alex. My mom is Heather from Shine.fm. This is Sipping Tea with Heather and Steven.
Let's recap the rules if you're new here.
And if you're new here,
I was going to say, you're not only scratching your head, you're horrified by what we're talking about here. So here's we really only have one rule here at Sipping Tea.
Mm-hmm.
Bring your question, answer the question, but always be prepared.
You have
answer
to.
Answer the question.
You have to.
You have to. We can't
it's
shy
not an
away.
Option.
It's that's what this level of trust and banter must can only work.
The circle of trust.
The circle of trust. I'm gonna close my.
Circle
so
of trust.
That's what you're doing, listener. You're trusting us
yes.
to give you both sides of the answer, both sides of the coin from both perspectives.
And sometimes we don't agree.
It's rare.
Goobers and Raisinets.
I think it's rare that we don't agree. At least we appreciate the honesty of one another.
True.
But I still say you're wrong. Raisinets are the perfect movie food. I'm not moving.
We're not going back there. So ask me your question.
Okay. This started because I will give credit to Megan in our office.
Megan, she's our program director.
She's our PD.
Okay.
And we talked about, she stops. Okay. I have the enviable position in the building. My office adjoins the break room.
Oh, that's nice.
Like you walk out and there's the coffee maker.
Right.
Like to get into the refrigerator, you are basically standing in my doorway.
That's right. Okay? You're not wrong.
So
that's
I
right.
get to engage with a lot of people. So this question actually popped up a couple of months ago.
Okay.
I jotted it down and kind of put thought bubble around it. Like, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talked about it again the other day. It was contextual, and I will say that. The community that we live in here
mm-hmm.
had a boil your water emergency kind of thing.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
And so we were talking about, well, what, you know, can we make? Can we get away with? What do you drink? And somehow we got back on the same topic because I pulled out the notes to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the question.
Okay, I'm ready. That was a big setup.
I know it.
Big setup.
Because it's a tiny question, big setup.
I figured that.
Kidding. No. Okay. So thinking back into your lifetime here, okay? Go back a few years. You're not your age right now.
Okay.
I'm setting this up.
Okay.
Just answer as quickly as you can. Look me in the eye. Answer as quickly as you can.
Oh, no, I'm scared.
Top three flavors of Kool-Aid. Go.
Oh, Tropical Punch.
Ooh, nice one.
cherry and grape.
Oh, yeah. Good job.
Tropical Punch, though. Like, if I could take, and we would go to the store and my mom would let me pick, the other one that I would say is right up there is lemonade.
Really?
I
just
really
straight
did.
Up lemonade?
Well, the Kool-Aid lemonade.
Yeah, but the Kool-Aid lemonade.
Just the regular straight up lemonade.
See, we never did Kool-Aid lemonade because lemonade was supposed to come in the
big
powdered container, the big container.
We would do just the little packets.
Oh, no. So, yeah, okay, yeah. All right.
But that would be up there. But no, like my mom would let me pick when we would go to the store.
Right.
And I would try to find all the Tropical Punch. That irritated the snot out of my brother because I don't know that was his favorite. But I was like, well, I'm here and I'm picking. I'm getting the one I want.
You guys can take turns and be like, oh, there's six for $2 and you get to pick three and he gets to pick three?
He wasn't there. I was there with mom. I always went shopping with her. And so, no, I got what I wanted. And
you got to pick the cereal too and all those kinds of things or no?
Yeah, typically. But I mean, we had a lot of we had a lot of similar cereal like Lucky Charms, Cocoa Puffs. We both like those. But
right.
No, I think.
Because the answer is always Cocoa Puffs.
Exactly. Or Lucky Charms.
And listener, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back to like episode 3.
Yeah.
You'll figure it out.
But yeah, no, Tropical Punch would be
That's
my
awesome.
Number one. Okay, so what's your top three?
Okay. And these are mine because I can actually, because I memorized them from Megan as well. My top three,
yeah.
Orange, grape,
oh.
black cherry.
Oh, I wasn't a huge fan of black cherry.
You know, and here's what's funny. Megan's was orange, fruit punch, black cherry.
Oh.
So one and three were the same between Megan and I.
That's interesting.
And what was really interesting was, and I'll share the context of this. The original drink discussion came out of the fact of we started talking about whether we drank Tang growing up. Do you remember Tang?
Oh, yes, sir.
And it was such a big deal that it was up on the space shuttle and people, astronauts are drinking Tang, by the way. Great product placement. You had to pay $1 million to get that now. But we were talking Tang.
Yeah.
And so she was like, you know what? We did quite a few powdered drinks. And I was like, what do you mean by powdered drinks, mm-hmm. Megan? And she was like, Kool-Aid. You know, didn't you have to drink Kool-Aid growing up? And I was like, okay. Yeah, I did drink Kool-Aid.
Uh-huh.
I said, and I want you to tell me your three, and then I'll tell you my three.
Yeah.
And I know that she's being sincere, and not that she wouldn't be insincere. She recalled the exact same answers.
Oh, okay. So it was her.
So yeah. It was her, and it was her context, and it was. But I thought it was funny. And then sitting there,
yeah.
You know, as we do.
Yeah.
Because we have moments of downtime.
Right.
I pull in our favorite director of communication.
Yes.
What's executive director? What's the title of engineering?
Chief engineer.
Chief engineer.
His name
of
is
all
Gary,
the,
and we Gary. Love him.
We love Gary. Mm-hmm. Gary is well liked and loved.
Yes, he is.
Here and here's okay. So here's the dealio on this one.
Okay.
Okay.
You have another question for me, or
No, I'm going to give you his perspective.
Okay. Good. Okay.
Because I asked him the Kool-Aid question.
Yeah.
And unlike many of the questions that I asked Gary, it stumped him.
Seriously.
Okay, so you're a little surprised like me.
Because he's like our age.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that was like...
I mean, he'd have been on the playground.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he's within... He had no answer for this.
They didn't drink Kool-Aid?
They didn't drink Kool-Aid.
That's
and
sad.
And I thought, how un-American
That's actually sad because that missed out on a massive part of my childhood.
That's a major milestone for every child in North America, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
To know what Kool-Aid flavors are what and which ones you like the best.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was like a science of, you know, and there were even wacky times in the summertime where if we could get mom not paying attention, we'd mix Kool-Aid flavors just to see what was good.
What would
grape
happen?
And lemonade.
Woo!
One of my favorite Kool-Aids right there.
Yeah.
Gary had no answer and I felt a little despondent for him. And I was like, what did you drink?
Yeah.
If you didn't drink Kool-Aid growing up.
What did you drink?
I mean, surely you drank something. He was like, if we didn't, and we didn't drink Kool-Aid, we didn't drink Tang, we drank orange juice.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay,
that's
well,
expensive.
Still, I mean, that's, I mean, I didn't know you came from aristocracy. Interesting.
We had no idea.
Yeah,
you
I had
were
no idea.
Juice royalty.
Well, Prince.
Prince Gary.
Yeah, Prince Gary. His answers were... To this, because he was stumped, he was like, "Why would you drink Kool-Aid? Why
wouldn't
you?
Come on,
exactly.
It's
we all said it at the exact same time. Why wouldn't you drink Kool-Aid?
That's right.
So he said, if he were drinking anything, as he recalled, like pre-adulthood, being in his parents' house,
yeah,
water,
okay,
soda,
oh,
milk,
yeah,
and that's it,
yeah."
Like, and growing up in our house, we didn't drink a lot of soda.
No, yeah.
Because soda was expensive. Soda was much more expensive than those packets of Kool-Aid and a bag of sugar.
Right.
A bag of sugar was to be had.
Nothing,
next to nothing when we were growing up.
For sure, yeah.
I mean, it's gone up exponentially now.
Right.
But when we were growing up, it was a cheaper way. And you know what? And I'm sure my home church in Chicago, where I grew up, was completely like every other home church. VBS or Sunday school?
Yeah. You make
it was
the Kool-Aid.
Like, yeah, well, you make the Kool-Aid and it was watered down by like 10x. I mean, it was just like, is this pink or is did this start off his life as cherry?
Right. I just want to know.
Because it's not even staining the styrofoam cup you served me in.
Oh.
So I'm not sure. But it was kind of interesting. And then because it sparked the conversation that led us to, and it was just really, it was genuinely nice to hear how he crafted some of the memories that he then went in to share.
Yeah.
So that was interesting.
Have you ever had a, what do you call it? A pitcher of Kool-Aid dumped on you?
On purpose?
No.
I've never. I have had things dumped in my lap.
Like
but
an
never
accident.
Kool-Aid.
So, yeah.
Well, I didn't say that. You offered that last part. I've had a much more traumatic life than...
You spilled something in your own lap.
No, referring to that.
Okay, all right. So I want to tell you that I had already kind of ratted out my brother, who tickled me until I went to the bathroom.
Right.
So I was not the perfect child.
I'm astounded.
I like to mess with him.
Because he's older than you.
He's 3.5 years older than me.
And that is your job as the younger sibling.
Okay, thank you.
So let's give you
a little license, right?
Exactly.
So I was waiting for someone, or he was waiting for someone at the house we grew up in Goebbels, Michigan, and I just was bored. And there was a container of butter on the table. And I said, just wait. And I said, I'm going to wipe this butter on you. And he was like, no, you're not. And I go, yes, I am. And I went back and forth and back and forth until I did it.
Oh, my stars.
And then he...
You troublemaker.
It was on. And he was 3.5 years older than me, always faster than me. Okay? So he's chasing me around the house back and forth, okay?
Oh, my
All
stars.
Of a sudden, I don't know where he is. And I'm kind of like sneaking around a corner. He sneaks up on me and pours a whole pitcher of red Kool-Aid on my head.
Oh, my stars.
And I was probably like 10, 11, 12, 13. And as you can imagine, I burst into tears. And then he's like, don't tell mom. Don't tell mom. Don't tell mom.
The favorite reasoning of the older sibling. Don't tell mom.
Don't tell mom. Don't
She'll
tell
be
mom.
Mad.
So
She'll be mad.
He helped
don't
me get
mom.
All, because he had gotten it all head, face, neck, shirt.
Well, a pitcher would be, I mean, wouldn't some of it end up on the floor even?
Yeah, but he went right over my head.
So you got 98% of it.
Yes. I mean, right. And so he helped me get all my clothes into the washer. And I don't know that we told my mom about it at that. She knows now. But yeah, that was one of those times where he very deservedly did what he needed to do to stop me because I was being a total jerk.
That's hilarious.
So, but yeah, I had Kool-Aid dumped on my head.
Huh.
Yeah.
You just made me think, you know, dear listener, if you're listening to this and we know each other well enough that you know my family, please don't tell my mom that I drove more than 135 miles an hour.
All of a sudden, you're starting to question
it. Wait a second. Is this in syndication anywhere yet? This is a problem. Somebody's going to call my mom and go, did you know your boneheaded son that you're so proud of?
He did like, this no. and this and this. Okay, so I've got the next question. What would be a job that would be a total nightmare for you?
Oh.
Like you go, this would push me over the edge if I had to do this job. What would that be?
You know, I'm kind of speaking from a perspective of ignorance.
Okay.
Because I've never done this job.
Okay.
Okay. So if you're telling me pick a job that you hated and didn't want to do and knew you were, once you got out of it, you were not going to be happy with that. I mean, you would mm-hmm. never go back.
Right.
But if this is a job that you never necessarily did and didn't do it on purpose. Is that right?
Right? Or how yeah, I mean, just if you're
something
thinking
I
about,
did or something that I would never do.
It doesn't matter, but it just is like when you think about like, so the job that I would pick
okay.
gives me anxiety just thinking about it.
Oh my
it.
Stars. Okay. I want to hear your answer, but I have to answer first
because
you
first
have the question.
But that's what I'm just saying. Like I have done a semblance of this job, but if I had to do it every day for 8 hours a day, it would be, yeah. They might have to lock me up because it would be so anxiety producing that I wouldn't
okay.
be able to function.
Okay. Can I have two?
Sure.
Because one that, and this is going to be a really super brief explanation.
Okay.
The first one I would say is anything in food service.
Oh, okay.
And I say that from an area of ignorance. I was a waiter for a while here while I was a student at Olivet Nazarene University.
Okay.
Made decent money, but it was too distracting.
Okay.
Because it was such good money that I wanted to do that more than I wanted to study.
Oh.
So I could tell my grades were slipping already for the
yeah.
couple of weeks that I was learning the menu and tasting okay. all the food. So I just, but even in high school, like my cousin, my mm-hmm. first cousin, who also male, mm-hmm. also the same age as me, he got a job at a donut shop.
Oh.
And I thought that sounded like a blast. How could you be unhappy? Or how
shop.
Could you be just, and it was a donut shop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And there was a certain chain of donuts and it wasn't far from his house. It was
mm-hmm.
like 2 blocks from his house.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. This is what sealed the deal against me ever working in fast food.
Okay.
He smelled like donuts.
No, wait, that's not a bad
no,
thing.
Okay. That's not a bad thing. But here you have to remember, you know, he and I would get together. We went to two different high schools in Chicago, which are complete. I mean, it makes complete sense because Chicago's huge.
Right,
okay.
Right.
But we were about the same age. So we tried to hang out once in a while. And
uh-huh.
every once in a while there'd be, oh, hey, I want you to meet this girl. Or, hey, I have to double date and she needs a friend and blah, blah, blah. So
yeah.
we would do that. And it didn't matter. I would show up at Friday night at his house with two girls, or I would say, hey, you and your girl meet, and we'll meet you at your house, and then we'll ride in the same car. We'll pick whose car is cleanest or what, mm-hmm. who's got more gas.
Right.
And that's how we would choose.
Right.
It did not matter. He would walk into the room, and you would smell fresh yeast donut. And you're like, dude, go take a shower. I have two. I can't get the smell off me. I'm like, it's
no.
in your skin. It's in your hair. It's in your clothes. It was in his sweat. I was like, dude, I can't hang out with you, man. Number one, it's a real distraction because it's a donut. Right. It's like you can tell it's a fresh donut in the room. People are looking around going, that sounds yummy.
Where is that? Donuts?
Who's carrying donuts? This is a great idea. No, it's a horrible idea, especially when you're on a date with two women.
Right.
And then secondly, it was like, look, you seem so miserable. Serving donuts? I don't want anything to do with fast food. They could not pay me enough.
I get that. Yeah.
To do fast food. So from the perspective of ignorance, I never did fast food.
Right.
But I did it in like intentionally. Like there were other guys that I went to high school with. One guy was working at Taco Bell and you know, every once in a while they'd let him make a meal and they weren't watching and he'd make too much food and throw it in a bag and go home.
Right.
You know, those kinds of things.
Right.
Because we were high school students, we couldn't work in Chicago past a certain amount of time or late into the evening. So, and if we were hooking up with him, he'd be like, oh, I got food for an all. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. But he didn't smell like Taco Bell. My own poor first cousin smelled like a donut.
Now, to some woman, that might be really attractive. To some women, that might be really, really attractive.
I think he was in his late 30s before he got married. So that was from the perspective of I never wanted to do it and I never did do it. Okay. I did customer service. I did retail. Mm-hmm. My first real job was bagging groceries. Mm. And I actually loved it. Worked in Chicago for a grocery store chain that still exists now and would go back to bagging right now if it paid more, but it doesn't pay. But here's the one thing that I tried and I would never go back to.
Okay.
My hands are sweating.
Okay.
I mean, I taught fourth grade.
Oh.
For one full school year.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. I don't admit to it because I still have some PTSD.
Oh, no.
I mean, I'm sitting here and my hands are sweating.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I just, fourth grade, and here, you want the whole, I mean, I don't know how much of the shooting match you want, and that's what it turned into.
Oh, no.
We were not in Chicago.
Okay.
My wife and I were fairly newly married, a couple of years out, because I had just graduated from school and had this opportunity and decided that I was having trouble finding permanent full-time employment.
Okay.
And so I thought, well, what are some of the things I can do? Mm-hmm. And somebody suggested, who happened to be a school teacher in her family, hey, why don't you get your substitute teacher's license?
Oh, okay.
You know, while you're looking, and then you can yes to some days and no to others, and it's no big deal, and you can go on interviews, and you can still find a full-time job, but you're still making this quota per day.
Right.
They basically handed you a check at the end of the day.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so you had instant cash.
Right, yeah.
Very convenient.
Right.
So I go through this process, and I land at one school.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of day two, not day one, at the end of day two, the principal, they call me into the office, and before the principal hands me the check, she says, can I see you in my office? And I'm thinking, well, I didn't do anything wrong. I've only been here 2 days.
Right.
How much trouble could
damage
I be in?
Damage could I have done,
exactly.
Right?
There's no one out there, someone scheduled counseling because of you, Mr.
Right,
Alvarado.
Right, exactly.
So at the end of this conversation, she looks at me and she goes, you're an extremely talented teacher. She's I cannot believe you're not an elementary education major. She said, how would you like to teach fourth grade for an entire year? And I looked at her like, that's not even possible. You already know I don't have an elementary education degree.
Right.
And she said, here's the thing. The teacher you've been subbing for, she's been getting morning sickness. She's pregnant with her first baby.
Mm.
She thought she could handle it. But now the doctors put her on medical leave.
Oh, wow.
And she can't come back. However, I have every confidence in you that you can teach this class after observing you for 2 days.
Oh,
because,
no.
Here's the thing, because she has already done her entire lesson plan for the year, and she's done all of her mimeograph copies of her quizzes and tests, and she has got all of her bulletin boards for every single event done.
Wow.
She's like, you literally have to show up and teach. She said, you have to grade and you have to citizenship. You've got to develop these students. And I thought, I still don't know. And she goes, let me sweeten the deal. You're not going to have insurance, but I will pay you a rate higher than a substitute teacher's rate. And she said, and every Friday you will get a paycheck.
Hmm.
And I thought, how hard could this be? It's fourth grade. Oh, yeah. Oh,
that was your first mistake.
We would call that irony, listener. Yeah, that was probably my biggest and first mistake. So I said yes.
Wow.
And I settle in. I couldn't have been more miserable trying to teach a bunch of fourth graders. Here's the problem with fourth graders, at least when I was out of college in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. Now, when I say that, now I realize they could have fourth graders of their own.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my stars.
Exactly.
Anyway, they're pre-hormonal.
True.
Fourth grader. So stay with me. They're 9, 10.
Right.
They're pre-hormonal.
Right.
And yet, they act like they're not pre-hormonal. They're acting like they're getting. And I was like, you know what? Stay away from her. Don't look at her. I spent so much time on the citizenship area of teaching.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal. Mm. Short story.
Yeah.
The PE teacher didn't show up that day. And this is a very small school system.
Yeah.
The principal calls me on the phone, says, hey, PE teacher's not there. But you're an athletic guy, right? I'm thinking, yeah, I am. And I've played sports, but I'm not going to be your PE teacher. She goes, no, I don't want you to be the PE teacher, but I still want you to take your kids to specials and go to PE today.
Okay.
And I was like, was there a plan? And she was like, well, just ask the students, what have they been doing recently? And she goes, and then do that for the hour and 15 minutes and then bring them back to your classroom.
Oh, no.
And I'm thinking, okay, how hard could this be? All right. So, hey kids, what are you doing? When been doing? Oh, Mr. Johnson's been teaching us softball. I said, outside? And they're like, yeah, it's really nice out right now. And I was like, well, okay, let's go outside. So we go out through the gym door, mm-hmm. and in the back sides of the gym, mm-hmm. are the areas for all the storage of equipment.
Okay.
So we grab all the equipment.
Yeah.
We walk out. I'm telling the kids what to do. A fourth grader runs over, picks up an aluminum bat. And begins swinging it at me.
What?
Yeah. And he was serious. And I just, here's how I knew I could never be a fourth grade teacher.
Could never do it again.
Again. I looked at the kid and I said, please, if you hit me, knock me out. Because if you don't, I will take that bat away from you and use it on you. And when I finished that sentence, the sheer terror that came into his face, he threw that bat as far as like between us, as far as he could pitch it,
uh-huh.
and ran in the opposite direction. And I thought to myself, that was probably an incredibly unprofessional thing to say.
Probably. But you were like, I need to protect myself.
And then I was serious. I was like, you're going to get the first swing, but if you swing at me, knock me out.
You better.
Because I'm going to take it away from you. And I, in that moment, Heather, I was dead serious.
Oh, I'm sure.
I was like, I have had enough of this.
Yeah.
It's October. And I only been doing this for like 9 weeks already.
Right.
And you're going to swing a bat at me? I'm from Chicago. We were in rural Indiana.
You're lying.
I was like, you pick up a bat and swing it at somebody, it's already on.
It's on.
I don't even give you a warning. It's already
right.
on.
Exactly.
I at least gave you a warning.
Right.
I came in, it was that Friday, and the principal's like, oh, you don't look well. And I was like,
thanks.
Yeah. You're going to get a phone call from some parents. And I told her the whole story, mm-hmm. and she was like, and what happened? Like, she couldn't figure. And I was like, if I'd hit him, would they not be taking me out of here, handcuffs, lady? Hello?
You're like, I know the consequences.
Use your logic at this.
Okay.
School is out. I got little kids coming up to me asking me for a hug.
Aww.
And the principal was very clear, and so was the vice principal. If they ask you for a hug, you may hug them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't offer or ask them
right.
for a hug.
Right.
So if they want a hug from you, you can.
Right. But
can't. You can't offer or set it up. And
right.
I was like, okay, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
So most of the class wanted a hug at
aww.
The end of the, and so I'm in the, I remember being in the classroom and thinking, Mrs. Ice is coming back in the fall and this whole thing is done. And mm-hmm. it was a great experience. Somebody clears their throat at the back of my classroom and I turn around and it's the principal. And I was like, hey. She's like, hey. She's like, I worked it out with the superintendent. I said, you worked out what? She's like, I'm here to offer you a full-time job.
Oh, my.
Benefits, pay. And she goes, and I can't believe he went for this. We're going to send you back to school so you can finish an elementary education degree.
What?
Dead serious. And here's how I know I was never meant to be a fourth grade teacher. I walked over to her and said, I think I need a hug. She hugged me.
You asked.
I asked, but it was an adult. She hugged me and I said, you will never see me again after today. And she looked at me like, what? I mean, she had this beautiful, she had planned this speech.
Oh, I'm sure.
She had done her homework.
Oh, yeah.
She got it approved.
Yeah.
From the district office.
Yeah, right.
For educational funds.
Right.
She had a full-time job ready for me.
Right.
Benefits, the whole match.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm out. Start the car, Jeeves.
We're leaving.
That's how I know. I mean, fourth grade was that hard on me. And I don't remember fourth grade as a student being that hard.
Right.
As the teacher, I couldn't do it. There are times where I'm even like right now, there's something that I'll pop up and I'm disappointed about something or I get disenfranchised with how a student answers something because I'm thinking this has got to be clearer than this to you. And it's not.
Right.
But that's that.
Yeah.
So now it's your turn to answer.
First off, I just have to say that we give a shout out to all teachers.
All school teachers.
Especially fourth grade teachers.
Absolutely.
But any teachers because you guys carry the load.
You. Oh, yes. My stars. And you're making such a huge difference. You talked about the fact that you had a school teacher show up at your dad's funeral.
Yeah. Yep.
And the impression he made on both you and your brother.
Yep.
That's the kind of personnel. Those are the people that you need teaching.
So mine would be a door-to-door salesman.
Why?
Because
Did you ever try it?
Well, I can tell you that we would go around. So when my kids, when Sebastian was in Boy Scouts, and Paul would do this a lot, but they sell popcorn.
Oh, and it's some of the, I don't know how they do this. It's premium popcorn.
It is very, it's good popcorn. But
it's very good popcorn.
He would have to go door-to-door. And I would get so, because here's part of it. It's the knock. And then what are you going to get when you open that door? Okay. It's a rejection thing, I think.
I thought you were afraid of like somebody in a bathrobe.
No, well, no.
I mean,
no,
you never know what you're going to get. But
just
I thought
like
that's
them
what
being
you meant
mean
when they
to me, them like I take that stuff way too personally.
Wait
so
a
like,
second. Who was selling the popcorn?
Well, he was. You? No.
That's what I'm saying. Was this Sebastian or you? Because
no, it was him. But like I would live vicariously through that and say, was me at the door, because he didn't have a problem with it, because he'd come back to the car, because I would stay in the car and just like try to hold my anxiety down, because I was like,
wow,
this is so anxiety producing.
You weren't even at the front door with him.
Oh no, I wouldn't get out of the car.
Heather, oh, you couldn't. Heather,
I would sit. We were in like a residential neighborhood. I was sitting
in
the car.
That's not the criticism. The criticism was just like, how could you be so tense? You were still in the car. You're not even gotten out of the car. I bet you didn't half the time. You didn't even turn the car off.
No, I probably didn't.
And it still freaked you out.
It did. It totally freaked me out. And it's just something about knocking
stars.
And like having to give a pitch and having someone who just is really rude and mean, and that rejection. Like he would come back and he would be like, yeah, they bought popcorn already. And I would be like,
And so even the no was okay because he was back safe.
Well, he
was trying to follow because I don't get it.
He was fine with it. Like he wasn't upset about the rejection. I was like, I don't know. It's just the strangest thing, but I cannot take it.
So what was your thought? You were going to get out of the car and go back and accost these people buying popcorn?
No, just like,
how dare you not buy popcorn from this beautiful Boy Scout? What?
The best time that we ever did it, though, was when he was on crutches.
Oh, my stars.
I had put it on Facebook because he couldn't walk as much. And one of my very best friends from college said, yeah, way to go putting your handicapped kid on the
next?
Facebook.
A wheelchair,
I don't know what it is about knocking on someone's door and asking them for, like, because Paul would do like political things and he would go knock on doors for a political candidate. No, I can't do it. I don't know. But I can talk to people.
Oh,
I talk to
excellent.
Strangers all
oh,
the
absolutely.
Time.
But strangers come up to me out to us when you're and they hear your voice.
Right.
They're like, are you Heather?
Right.
Are you the Heather? And you have to go, well, yeah, and you do. And you're very nice to people in
thank
person.
You. But
you really are. Far nicer than I
am. Yeah. Clearly, we've learned especially a lot after this conversation.
To your fans. Fans, I'm all, whatevs, and I walk out.
But yeah, I don't know what it is, but like if someone said the only way you can survive is to be a door-to-door salesman, there would have to be some serious counseling and probably medication.
Wow.
Because it is, I mean, and it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't even me at the door.
Right.
It was Sebastian, who was totally fine with it, and I was stressing out and having a total panic attack in the car over it.
That's hilarious.
So that would
be Do you think it would matter what the product was? Like, if you knew, I don't know, imagine anything. It's like the perfect product, and you know the answer is going to be yes. They're going to buy the thing. They're going to buy the widget.
No.
100% foolproof. Does it matter?
No.
So it's not really the no, even. It's the process.
It is the process, I think. Yeah, because, I mean, we ask for stuff on the radio. You know, we do fundraisers.
Oh, sure.
And
yeah.
I don't have any. People have asked me, like, how can you ask people for money? I'm like, well, I'm giving them an opportunity to be a part of what God's doing.
Right.
That could be the same for a door-to-door thing, but I don't know. There's something about, I don't get it. But, and I've never, like, when I was younger, we lived in an area where you couldn't walk like to the neighbors. We didn't live in a like our closest neighbor was a quarter mile away.
Right.
So like it wasn't like I was forced to do that when I was younger. You know, because sometimes you go, well, was it something from your childhood? No. But it like
yeah, that's the first thing I think.
Yeah, something from
what
your childhood.
What traumatic thing happened in your childhood?
No, it was. I never had to do it because we had friends and they would buy stuff from me for school fundraisers and stuff. But
and so have you been the mom where you have to take your kids fill in the blank order form to work?
Well,
and they order the box of chocolates or the box of donuts or the box of whatever.
Paul did that more than I did because I was at home most of the time. But yeah, Paul did that. And Paul doesn't have any problem with it. Like that's why I would say to him, you need to take Sebastian. Like you need to go with him because he never knew how much anxiety it gave me just to sit there in the car.
And you never told Paul that?
I don't think I ever did I don't think I ever did because most of the time he would do it. But then there'd be times where he was like, well, I have to work and you have to do it. And I'm like, okay, you know, turn around.
You're
and,
like, we're not going.
Yeah. Well, the thing is,
get in the car,
whatever,
be like happy meals.
Whatever we committed to is what I did, and not a minute more. Like I was
really?
Like, this is it. We're done. We're going back home. Like it's strange. It's very strange.
Okay, let me throw a hypothetical at you.
This are you gonna?
My question.
I'm gonna stress.
This is a hypothetical
out.
Question. Okay.
Okay.
So, have you ever been to like a grocery store or a big box store, and you're on the way in?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a table set up, and there's Girl Scouts, and they're selling the very best cookies ever on the planet to be sold by little people.
Yes.
Would you be one of those moms that would set up that table and work that booth with those kids to sell cookies today?
No.
Not door to door.
No.
You're set up. You're not getting out of your chair.
No.
You wouldn't do it.
No. No. Give me another option for making money. No.
That is hilarious.
The other thing I don't like, and my daughter and I joke about this, but I must have a sign on my forehead that says, please ask me. When you go to certain stores and they say, hi, welcome to, do you have our credit card?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, and I don't, like, every time she's there, I get asked. And so Alex will be like, oh, there she is, Mom. She's going to find you. She's going to find you. She's going to find you. And I'm like, no. Because I have
That's
to say
hilarious.
No, because I don't want their credit card, you know, but like.
And are these the people with the clipboards that are walking around the stores asking and interacting?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, don't make it. I can't. I'm going to go this way because she's coming towards me. They find me. And then I have to say no. I'm like, no, I don't. Thank you. No, I'm not interested.
Wow.
But that stresses me out too.
Yeah. See, and I get, I'm going to admit to something. I get playful. I would call it playful. So you come up and offer me a credit card, and I look at you and I go, I can't get credit. I've declared bankruptcy 6 times.
What? You're a liar.
No, I'm telling him a story. And then I'll walk off, and my kids will be like, why didn't you just say no? Because that doesn't help them. They feel bad. At least this way, they feel bad for me, not them. It's not about their job. It's about me. I'm the one with the problem.
Oh, you need
I'm
to
the
stop.
One with the fault.
I'm the one with the problem. So would
seriously,
you?
Seriously, like there's a big box store I visit quite often.
Uh-huh.
And they're out there selling internet.
Yeah.
Or selling, you know, a TV package.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, no, I don't need that. My TV's through the internet or it's terrestrial antenna.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a package of any kind. And they're like, you know how many shows you're missing? And I'm like, I can only watch one 60-minute of a show in 60 minutes.
Right.
It's not a matter of what I'm missing because I don't feel like I'm missing anything.
Right.
So don't, I'll even look at them. Nope. I'm terrestrial antenna. Nope. Don't need one.
Nope.
Don't need your service.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Don't need 100 megabytes of DVR space.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to record anything.
So let me ask you this hypothetical. Yes. Your granddaughter, Ellie.
Oh, this is not fair.
Yes, it is.
All right, I'll listen to the question.
She is a Girl Scout.
Okay.
And she calls you up and she says, Peppa, Mom's busy with my baby brother. Could you help me set up a table at Kroger and sell Girl Scout cookies so I can reach my goal?
I would put her on a knapsack and peddle them door to door for her.
I would do it for Ellie.
This has been Sippin' Tea with Heather and Steven. If you would like us to answer a question, email me, Heather@shine.fm.